Welcome to Scaling the Gap, the podcast for leaders who refuse to settle. I'm Madeline McRae, CEO and co-founder of ProQ. Here, we cut through the noise to tackle the real challenges of scaling your business while staying true to your purpose. Every episode brings candid conversations, proven strategies, and the kind of insights that don't just inform, they ignite action. If you're ready to stop talking about impact and start making it, you're in the right place. Let's get started. Well, hey, everybody, and welcome back to a fantastic episode of Scaling the Gap. I have here with me on the show someone who I have known for many a moon. We met, I actually will never forget, one of the very first conversations we had was in a bus on the way to a site visit, I think, at a trade show. And I've always remembered that conversation, really stayed with me because early on in my consulting career. And I am so delighted to welcome to the show, Rick Locke. Rick, welcome.
Thank you, Madeline. I remember that bus ride as well. It was a fabulous conversation.
It really was. There are sometimes those conversations that you have, like, because you never know who you're going to chat with on a bus or if you're going to talk to anyone or if it's going to be awkward the whole way. And we just had like the best business chat ever. And I will always remember it. So I'm so delighted. I'm glad it was memorable for you too.
At that time, I was a new business owner and I had just come from the corporate world and I was, you know, taking it all in and understanding the differences. And you were a great sounding board for that.
I love that.
It helped me understand both what I was experiencing and what I had to look forward to as a small business owner.
I love it. I love it. And since that time, you have done fabulous things in your work, in your career, in your business building. So why don't you share with our audience a little bit about who you are today and the work you do in this world?
Well, you say fabulous, and I think people use that because I've experienced tremendous growth with my business.
Sure.
I think we use that metric a lot in business as what, how much revenues do you generate? Are you profitable, et cetera? And we've had good success at that over, let's see, it's 2013 when I purchased my first business here in Seattle. And my intent after leaving the corporate world was just to have a job, someplace to keep me out of trouble, something that I could work on every day and, you know, provide a car and some expense account and benefits, of course. And it didn't happen that way. In fact, we had some real early success and grew the business dramatically and then had some more acquisition opportunities, grew those businesses. And now we're up to 9 locations in 5 states doing $60 million in revenues this year.
Yeah,
that's a long ways from a one location, 12 people doing 5 or 6 million.
Yeah.
So it's been a fun ride. And that's just in 12 years.
And that's why I say fabulous. I think you guys would agree with me. That's pretty fabulous, right? It's a fantastic story. And also, one of the things that I'm passionate about is let's not forget what got you there first, right? You talked about I was leaving a corporate career. So you arrived on the scene purchasing a business, first of all. It did not start from, you know, your garage.
That's
you
right.
Purchased a business and you came with really high level business acumen and extremely clear on what you needed and wanted in your business in terms of metrics and data and organizational structures. So you brought some really strong business acumen to the table, which you then leveraged to take advantage of these incredible growth opportunities, which I think is important for people to know.
Yeah, that was really for me the secret sauce I was able to bring. And I didn't realize how much it was missing in small business. I'll never forget the excitement that employees had when we were sitting down and agreeing on a set of KPIs that they would be measured on for a bonus.
Yes.
I know exactly what I've got to do to accomplish what it is you're expecting of me. And I've never had that in my job before.
Yes.
And it was pretty easy stuff because in the corporate world, you do that. That's just as a matter of course.
Of course. Yeah.
Those things became surprises, but certainly levers that I could use then to bring some structure, some discipline, comfort into employees and the companies.
Yes. That's one of the things that when we were having that chat in the bus all those years ago, I saw that immediately that, oh, you're going to bring this, this, and this. Because one of the passions when I first started my first consulting firm over a decade ago was that I saw what was going on in the corporate world and how effortless those KPIs and those performance reviews and bonus calculations were. And then in small business, like you said, like you had people like, I never have even had that before, right? I've been doing my job for a long time. No one ever told me what they wanted me to actually do.
Yeah.
Right. And that gap is why scaling the gap, here it is still today. Like that gap is so unnecessary, but it's simply a matter of information and implementation, right? People don't know about it and they don't know how to apply it in their own small and business environment.
Yeah. Now, and for most people, it's well received. I have had employees that say, hey, if I wanted to do that stuff, I'd be at a corporation.
Sure.
I'd be at a big company. I'd be down the street at so-and-so. And then, you know, okay, it may or may not work for them. And I had to part ways with some fairly talented employees who weren't willing to be part of an organization that had that discipline to it.
Right. Right.
And a lot of people find a place to hide in a small business because there's often a lot of autonomy.
Right. Right. And I mean, we were talking about that in the green room, that hiring people and having a clear understanding of what you need and who they are and do they fit. And when they're a bad fit, being having enough courage to walk away from even a great potential hire, it's going to save you so much in the long run, because hiring someone who doesn't want to be involved in a business with that much discipline and structure, they're going to be a fly in the ointment every single day of your life.
Right. Yeah. You don't need the drama.
Don't need the drama. Yeah, that's right. Drama-free zone up in here.
That's right.
Rick runs a drama-free business.
Well, for the most part.
He aspires to run a drama.
Funny how it has a way of creeping in every once in a while, but I will count myself lucky that that's not something they deal much with.
Yeah.
We've got, as I mentioned, 9 locations in 5 states here in the Pacific Northwest, Washington, Oregon, Idaho, Montana, Wyoming. And they're very different. And so the people are different and the people's expectations are different. And it's a learning experience for me to understand what motivates people in those different environments. Sometimes it's challenging to try to find synergies across all those locations. And when I try to do integration of all of those into a common business has been challenging. In some areas, we operate each location independently because they address certain segments of the market. They have certain unique products that they sell. And trying to change that would probably take away their success.
Yeah.
That's not what I want to do.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, you want to build on what's successful and you want to build through or build a bridge over the difficulties, right? And sometimes finding that, like, what is that golden thread that runs through? Maybe there's only one thread or two threads. Maybe it's not an entire tapestry in every single one. Well, that's okay, right? So you mentioned, you know, the people, their expectations, the product lines, all really different. But what also is different is the consumers that they serve
who
they're selling to. And if there's a mismatch between your ideal client and you, and you're just missing them because you're bringing something that's foreign to them, then you're going to struggle to continue to replicate the success that the company was built on.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And when we can find those synergies, it's powerful. Grow the business and create more success in the markets.
Yeah. Love it. Love it. Well, I said a little word I dropped in just a second ago. I said product, and you mentioned product, and I promised you that we would geek out a little bit on product today. So one of the things we don't usually do it on the show, for those of you who are loyal listeners, this is something a little different today. I would love to give you a chance, Rick, to geek out a little bit here on some of these products in the fenestration industry that are really captivating your interest because you have such passion for them. And I just wanted you to share a little bit. So tell us a little bit about what is it that's keeping you engaged with this new product development that you're participating in.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah. So we do windows and doors, and I'm pretty sure all of your listeners have windows and doors. One of those things that you don't do without.
Yeah.
It's also something a lot of people take for granted. It's a unique product that has unique capabilities that is continuing to change. And throughout our lives, materials are becoming more innovative in what they can do. And then the application of those materials to products is helping those products perform better or function better for what it is we expect them to do. For windows and doors, performance becomes a big thing around energy consumption, the ability to block glare, the ability to change. And that's what the new materials are allowing us to do, is have dynamic windows that can change based on how much light is outside, how much heat might be coming through, and they'll change. They'll darken. Their density can change to allow more or less light to come through, more or less heat to come through. So all of a sudden, that window that was forever a static point in your wall is dynamic and is adjusting the amount of light and the amount of heat coming in and out to make a very comfortable environment for you inside that space.
Yeah.
We've seen it first and foremost in the commercial applications, starting to see it following in residential applications as well.
Yeah, that's so cool. What that reminded me of is when my mom first got a pair of glasses that you'd walk outside and your glasses darken. Right now, they're taking what you could do in this teeny tiny little frame of your glasses and applying even more advanced technology in the window so that the window is actually responding to the environment that's changing on the exterior of the house. That's so cool.
The technologies are very similar. Photochromic in your glasses changes.
Yes.
Exposure to ultraviolet light. Electrochromic. Yep. We have photochromic in window applications, but we also have electrochromic where we can actually use a control mechanism to lighten or brighten based on how much light there is and what a sensor tells it to do. Computer-controlled glass.
I love that. That's so cool. So my corporate career was at Somfy Systems, and we were all about having control systems that operate the attachments to openings, right? So that was the shades, the screens, the shutters on the exterior or the interior that would respond to what's going on. And now it's the glass itself.
The same thing, but actually doing it to the glass itself.
I love it.
That's fun. We're having fun with that. And our markets, you know, we do high-end homes. And so we're in some markets where people are willing to be early adopters and spend a little extra money today to get some of those technologies applied to their windows.
Yeah. Super cool. It must be so rewarding to be on the cutting edge of that and to start to get to see these real life applications of what used to look like sci-fi.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah. I had a point in my career where I did sell those types of products with minimal sizes and capacities available. And now we've come past that. They become mainstream. So it's really fun.
I really love it. That's so exciting. And you live in a really dynamic environment, right? Like you could have something super sunny and super cloudy. Like you have all the seasons, right? And it's going to be really impactful for your consumers, both commercially and residentially.
Right.
So I love it. So I think that this staying on the cusp of product development's always been part of your passion inside of your business. Isn't that right?
That's right. Yeah. I think it's one of the things that motivated me to own a business. And it also motivates me to be involved in associations. I'm currently the chairman of the National Glass Association, the board of directors. And my motivation to do that is partly to give back, you know, to be part of a great organization, but partly to have a great seat at the table to see the cool stuff coming down the road. I just love that. And then I can bring it back to my businesses. I can bring it back to my salespeople, to our customers, and help them understand what some of the capabilities are of the products that we sell.
I love it. So that's one of the delights. Did you expect that coming into the business, that this would be one of the delights of your business development?
I did not.
Yeah, I love that. The unexpected delights of business ownership is one of the, could fill a book, right? Maybe one day it will. And it's a pretty exciting thing because you could never have guessed it, right? You wouldn't have thought, oh my gosh, I'm going to really geek out on fenestration products when you were evaluating what type of business you wanted to buy all those years ago. So I really love that. And I'm curious, are there any of those unexpected hurdles? I know you talked about the integration of the culture of the various companies that you have and the different locations that you have, but was there anything else along your journey that was one of those unexpected hurdles that you got surprised by?
I would say people, different types of people in small business than are in the corporate world. Motivations, different work ethics, different expectations. And that took some change on my part. I managed a high performance sales team at a large corporation that was a worldwide sales team, very successful, coming to a local market with a sales team that was just focused on a very finite world was a real change.
Yeah.
And expectations of what people would or wanted to accomplish.
It's just that it's the both would and wanted to, right? Sometimes it's not that they couldn't, is they just don't want to. They don't want to work that hard. They don't want to exert in that way. They don't want to push too hard. They don't want to. It's a desire problem more than a capacity problem.
That's exactly right. Yeah. And that comes back to understanding what makes people tick. You and I talked a little bit earlier about the values cards that I use in my hiring practice.
Yes.
That's really important for me to understand what motivates people that I'm hiring. Often if somebody gets to me for an interview, of course, they've got the skill set to do what the job requirements are.
Sure.
But who are they? What motivates them? What do they value in life? Those are really important things to understand about somebody prior to hiring. It plays into how hard they're going to work, what balance they're going to be looking for, what their culture is going to be like, how they're going to interact with other people.
Yeah.
So it's a really good opportunity for me to get to know people better.
Right. And what Rick is mentioning is that we're chatting in the green room that he has a deck of 52 cards, but on each one of the cards, it's values, different types of values. And he asks his potential, his candidates, to divide the deck in half, things that what they're setting aside and what they want, and then to continue to do it till they're down to about top eight, top 10-ish. And then you have a really robust conversation about how come these ones withstood the purge every time and why does it really matter? And it really allows that more inner component part of those motivations and desires to shine out without having to ask leading questions.
Yeah, and it's powerful. I've had people in tears. Not on purpose, but right. Because it is emotional to dig into what some of those things are. Honest, right. Trust, love, compassion. Those are all things that motivate us. And when you start talking about why they motivate you personally, individually, it can go real, real deep.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And I mean, it can come from a beautiful place and it can come from a place of pain as well, right? Because all humans pursue pleasure and avoid pain, right? So it could be that they had a really painful experience that they don't want to replicate, or they had a really fantastic experience that they're looking to replicate. So I'm sure that's where some of those tears can be brought
into
there.
Right.
Rick making people cry on interviews, gotta love it. by accident, not by design.
But you want to hire real people.
That's right. Sure. You do. You really do. And with working with our clients, we call it their WIFMs, right? You know, the what's in it for me. Often it's used in marketing. Often it's used for consumers. But we actually do what's in it for me with our team. And every one of our clients is required to know what are the WIFMs for each one of their major team members. And then each one of the managers is required to know the WIFMs for each one of their team members. What is genuinely in it for them? What do they truly desire? Why are they working? What do they want? And sometimes it's really simple things, right? We had one of our clients that are going through this deep dive process with us. It's a 2-day deep dive, how we initiate our work with all of our clients. And it was a client with his executive leadership team. And one of his executive leaders wanted us to model the WIFM process right then and there for him because he just had to know. And he's like, okay, I'll do it. And so I did a WIFM process right then and there with him just on the fly. And this man was, again, in tears, talking about tear-jerking people. He was in tears because he was saying, my life is passing me by and I have a son who I really want to teach guitar to. And I'm working so many hours and guitar lessons are at 4:30 on a Thursday and I just can't seem to leave in time to make it happen. And it's really affecting me in my heart and my soul because I feel like I'm doing a disservice to my son. And this happened in this little WIFMs meeting right in the middle of our deep dive. And you know, the owner was like, well, we're fixing that immediately. Every Thursday from now on, you're leaving the office at 3:45. So you have time to go home, get your son and take him to a lesson. It was like we handed him $100,000. It was like we gave him a golden ticket. It was like there was no amount of money that could have exchanged hands in that moment that created more loyalty, more goodwill, and helped that man feel seen and deeply cared about because what he was modeling was his value was family and personal connection to his family. And it was time. And it was something that the owner had in his capacity to give. And it happened like that.
And I think most business owners want to be able to reward people or to support those motivations of their employees. But often they don't know what they are.
That's right.
We don't get that deep into those values and motivations of individual employees. So
that's right.
The WIFM process. Right. Love it.
Yeah. And you dig down, You don't take the first answer because people are going to dance on the surface. You have to go deeper, like two levels deeper, and then you're going to get to really what moves their hearts. And when you can compensate towards, when you can adjust, right? Fair and equal are two different things, right? You can have the same monetary application applied in a wide variety of ways to create a compensation program that's adapted to those WIFMs of your people, right? And it's so cool. We had another case actually from our own team, and one of our team members, one of her great desires was to get out of a debt from her college career. And she had been carrying it for a long time. And so we just renamed her bonus to a debt liberation bonus. And she was like, oh my gosh, this is what I've always wanted. Same amount of money, just called in a different word. And now it spoke to what she desired and how she was giving purpose to earning that bonus. And of course, there were KPIs attached to how you earn it. But being able to sometimes simply change a naming convention tailor-made to a person makes all the difference in the world.
It's insightful and creative.
Yeah. And it worked like charm. Right? It's amazing. It's amazing. Those inner motivations are super, super valuable. So Well, Rick, I have loved chatting with you and we could just jam all day long. We knew this since the bus all those years ago, but we got to wrap it up here. But let's take it to my favorite question. And for those of you listening at home, you know, this is our flagship question and I have to ask it every time. So with all the highs and lows, the unexpected gifts, the unexpected challenges, Rick, do you consider yourself to be successful?
Yes, I would say that. I would say I've been successful in building an organization that is going to last, is going to provide a platform for my employees to thrive, and it's going to take care of our customers, our employees, and our supply chain, our partners that manufacture the products we sell. And that's what we're here for. That's what we're all about. And I've continued to stay focused on that as I've built the business, and it's paid dividends.
Yeah, I love that. What is it that makes you have such a passion for creating that sense of providership across the customer, employee, and supply chain? That's a unique perspective. Is there something that drives that?
Well, we sat down and did a value statement and decided that those were the things that were most important to our business. We're a distributor. That's where we fit in the middle, and we've got to then continue to bring value, like our installation services. You know, we're a portfolio company that has a broad portfolio of products that we sell. So we're not out selling something just for the sake of pushing that product. We're a solution provider where we've got a portfolio of products and we work hard to find the right solution for our customers. It's consultative sales, providing hopefully the right solution for the right challenge.
I love it. I love it. So one of the things that I delight in the most is backwards engineering a success algorithm for each one of my guests. And I think that there's got to be I think we're missing something in yours, but I have three component parts that I have added into your little algorithm. So I want to share it with you. And then let's see if there's anything more that needs to be added to make it feel complete. So for Rick Locke, success equals building something enduring, plus creating lasting value for customers, employee, and across the supply chain, and maintaining solution-oriented aspect. Seems like we're missing a component part that in there. What do you think is missing?
I needed to get to a size where I could bring my two sons into the business. You know, my oldest son was a very successful engineer for a high-tech company, making a lot of money in Silicon Valley, and boy, to compel him to come to a small business was challenging from a compensation standpoint. So I had to get to a big enough and successful enough company to afford him and to make it compelling for him.
I love it.
And both of my sons worked in other places. They're both here now and pretty exciting to try to, we're working towards what a transition looks like right now.
I love it.
And so building something that was compelling for them, both from a revenue and profit standpoint and from a great place to work, great products to sell, was really important.
Okay, now I have it.
A personal family legacy.
Yes, I love it. Okay, so now I have the whole picture. And I pulled also from a couple of different features of our chat. And now I think I have the whole algorithm. So let's try it again. All right, for Rick, success equals building something enduring, creating lasting value for customers, employees, and across the supply chain, maintaining a solution-oriented aspect, providing compelling opportunities for family involvement, staying on the cutting edge, and capacity to give back.
Wow, you got them all. It's beautiful. Ah. Madeline, thank you.
Yes. I love that each of my guests has such a unique flavor that you bring into what your definition is, right? And that providing that compelling opportunity for family, that was a big work. I mean, you had to make the business big enough, had to make it dynamic, had all the component parts, and then staying on the cutting edge, that's your product passion that you happened upon, didn't even know that was a thing in your corporate career, didn't even know that. And then giving back, that represents also your positions on boards and how you've stayed involved in the industry from day one.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, I love it. This is so wonderful. My pleasure. Thank you. I'm so delighted to have had you on the show and to be able to jam really hard about being able to attach ourselves to the right employees by understanding values and drivers, by making sure that you are really engaged in your industry, understanding the dynamics of your market, and just how you apply it in this really clear-minded way, bringing these professional structures and disciplines right into the world of small business has been really beautiful. Thank you for sharing it with us.
Thank you, Madeline. It's been great. It's great to get the clarity.
Yeah, so fun. So if people want to follow you more, learn more about what you do, where can they find you or your companies?
Well, I personally am on LinkedIn, Rick Locke, or any of our company websites, windowshowroom.com.
Wonderful.
Is the place to start. And we can link to all the other companies and locations from there.
Beautiful, beautiful. We'll link those in the show notes for you so that it's easy to find. Thanks again for being on the show, Rick. I've so loved having you. And for those of you listening at home, just I want you to pause for a moment and consider, where are those really simple gifts that you're bringing to the table that you may have taken for granted? Where are the areas where you have acumen from a professional career or a corporate career prior, or where you have experience from something else that you can apply in your business today that you might not have been thinking through? Because sometimes our greatest gifts are hiding right there in the details, and we get so caught up into the daily grind, into the running of the interviews, into all the different things that we forget to look for where those little moments that are going to separate us from our capacity just to be average to something that's going to be fabulous. So my friends, thank you so much. And till the next time, catch you on the next episode. Bye for now.
Thank you, Madeline.
Thanks for tuning in to Scaling the Gap. If today's episode inspired you or sparked an idea, I'd love to hear about it. If you're an ambitious leader with a story to share, visit proqsystems.com, click on Media and Events, then select Podcast to apply to be our guest. We'd love to spotlight your journey. Also, don't forget to follow the show and leave us a review to help bring more transformative insights to leaders just like you. You can also connect with me, Madeline McCray, on LinkedIn for more conversations, access to our exclusive tools and resources. Until next time, keep scaling your impact and building a legacy that matters.